That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric. Matt's packing for Breakout Con in Toronto this week, so I had to sit down with Ed Jowett from Shades of Vengeance to talk about his latest game, which happens to be a kaiju game. Let's check that out. Tonight we're joined by Ed Jowett, Managing Director and Lead Games Designer of Shades of Vengeance, a company with the simple goal to create universes that inspire and give you amazing experiences. Shades of Vengeance creates role-playing games, comic books, audio dramas, games for cards, novels, movies, and so much more. The newest game is out, Era Kaiju, a tabletop RPG where you become a gigantic monster. You get to lead a team of gigantic monsters. You get to defend territory. You get to fight giant monsters. Did I mention giant monsters? Ed's here in the studio. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And thank you very much for finding the time to sit down with me and talk about the thing I'm passionate about.
Not a problem. How did you get started in game design overall? Like, what was the inspiration to initially start making games for people?
So it's a funny story, actually. I started being a GM when I went to university, more years ago than I care to admit. But I'd sort of come across the concept of role-playing games. I'd played a few computer-based games, such as Mega Traveler, which came out when I was a little younger. I went to university and sort of the whole world opened up. And the Indoor Gaming Society at the university I went to didn't really play or run Dungeons & Dragons. We ran other things. So the first game I ever played at a table, a real table, was Paranoia.
The computer is my friend.
And happiness is mandatory.
That's right.
I enjoyed that game because I was informed that it is mandatory that I enjoy the game. So I did. The following week, I basically ended up in a room with 25 people and three GMs, and they were going, will anyone else GM? We're a bit, you know, too many people, right? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a go. And I've basically never stopped being a GM ever since, so I guess that's the answer to what's the worst thing that can happen. The thing is that as we went through that year, I was drawn into working on, we did a 24-hour game every year back then. And I was drawn into working on a 24-hour game. They wanted to do a sci-fi game because the previous year had been a low fantasy thing. I'm a sci-fi guy, above all. And so, you know, I was there sort of coming up with worlds, with races, with things for the gameplay, and working with one other person in particular, Adam Simmons, who really worked with, we worked together on building the story of this universe. So I'd done that, and then I graduated, and I spent a couple of years being a faceless code developer in a cubicle with no one to talk to. And after about a year or two of that, I got a bit bored of sitting around, you know, never doing role-playing.
Right.
And I thought, no, you know what? I know enough people. I could do this. This is a thing I can do. So I offered to some friends and family to come along and play. And what I did is I actually ran the session, or the campaign, the five-session campaign that I'd written for that 24-hour game. Then at the end of it, you know, after the climax, and the end of the session, my brother said, well, you know, I'll run the next one if you want. Just write down the rules for me, please. And I wrote down the rules in a very simple way, showed them to a friend who was online. I was just chatting to an online friend I've had for years. And he said, Ed, this is great. You should publish this. You know, there are loads of people who publish indie role-playing games. You should go ahead and publish this. So I went ahead and I hired artists and I wrote some stuff and got a proofreader, thank God.
And the rest was history, huh?
This is just coming up to its 10th anniversary, this game now. That was very nearly 10 years ago. Since then, I've just kept making stuff. You know, I'll sit down, I'll have an idea or watch a series of movies or whatever, and I'll just go, oh, you know what, I could make a role-playing game for that.
Sure.
And most recently, perhaps unsurprisingly, a friend of mine sat down with me and said, Oh, Ed, you've only watched the legendary Godzilla movies. You have no idea. You have no idea what this universe can be like. And I was like, okay, all right, fine. Let's go ahead. He showed us the Godzilla movie.
Godzilla plus one?
It's about aliens who come to Earth. All monsters attack or something. It's
giant monsters all out attack.
There we go. That one. And it's just insane. It's so much fun and absolutely insane. And we were sat there, myself, this friend, and two other people who are sort of regularly involved with helping the conventions, or you know, we talk a lot about role-playing game.
Yeah.
And one of my friends said, oh, you can never make a role-playing game with kaiju.
Let me give you what for. You've got a, here's a role-playing game right here.
So here we are, Leo, I'm proving you wrong, but I do sometimes wonder if he says those sorts of things so that I will go away and make a game just to prove that he's wrong. That's the origins of Ed getting involved in games, all the way up to how did Era Kaiju happen.
So it sounds like it's a very organic way to build your business, which I think is really great, because that allows you to then design games very naturally instead of kind of forcing something. And I commend you for doing that.
I don't design good stuff when I force it. That is just the honest truth. I have to want to do the thing. I put a lot of thought into it and a lot of heart into it. And it's not just another game. It is my take on this thing. And in this case, it's my take on Kaiju. I wanted to get a certain feel. Mm-hmm. And I focus, when I'm doing game design, on making sure that I get the feel that I want. Because otherwise, that's not what I want. That sounds really obvious, doesn't it, when I say it out loud?
Well, it may be obvious, but it's not very obvious to most when they're creating stuff, too. It's interesting in terms of what you're creating and stuff. You've got a lot of different genres. I took a look at Shades of Vengeance. When it comes to like creating game worlds, particularly writing like the lore of the world itself, like settings and stuff like that, is there a particular method that you use?
Yes, there is. I actually do panels on the subject. About world building, about making your creative project happen, and so on. I do panels on a lot of conventions over here in the UK. I'm doing another one. In case anyone from the UK is watching, I'm going to MCM Comic Con in London. I'm going to be first doing a panel about making your creative projects work, which will include some world building stuff. And then secondly, I'm actually doing a workshop of an hour where we're going to create a tabletop role-playing game in the workshop, just for the fun. Because I reckon that's completely doable. There are a lot of techniques that I use. It's quite a hodgepodge.
Mm-hmm.
But fundamentally, it's about understanding the world as if you are a participant in it, as well as an omniscient being who can see everything. And it's having both of those things at the same time, which is what allows you to really bring that world to life. So you got to be down in there. You can't just be talking about the lore from a distance. Otherwise, it doesn't engage and doesn't really fire people up.
Right.
I often say that when I'm building a universe, I think of it a bit like building a four-story mansion with hundreds of rooms in. And a role-playing game, that's the key to the front door. That lets you walk in the door, and in theory, you could explore every room in the house. In reality, you're not likely to do that. You're likely to, you know, look around on the ground floor, you know, maybe go up to the next floor and look around a few rooms. Eventually, you'll find some rooms that you're pretty comfortable with. You'll stick in those. And that's how I find most people GMing. That's how they end up. However, what you can do then is you can bring out a comic, you can bring out an audio drama or a novel or whatever. And that lets you, let's take a comic, it lets you look in through a window on the third floor way down in the East Wing in a place that you'd never really thought of looking at. And it gives you that insight into that area. And some people will look at that and go, oh, that was a nice story. And some people will look at that and go, wow, I've got my roleplay game. I've got my key to the front door. I'm headed over there. I want to do something over there now. That sounds really cool. And so everything that I create about a world brings the world into sharper focus. That's the point, right? Sure. It's about... And it's actually why I make role-play games. And it's about expressing that world and exploring that world in a way that can engage and interest people. And if people just find the thing and like it and like that one thing about the world, then that's awesome. That's great. If people like more stuff or want to know more about the world, I like to think that we're able to provide some of that as well.
So it sounds like very much you see role-playing games is almost like a medium, like a painter would consider using paint, like acrylics versus oil paint. And so you've got a lot of different mediums from which to create. Do you have a specific genre that you really like maybe that's your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I am primarily a sci-fi guy.
Okay.
I like sci-fi, and even my fantasy world, which I built, it's even that's got a bit of a sci-fi kind of slant to it. I just can't avoid bringing that sci-fi to the world. So I like making fantasy games, but even then I'm sort of like, right, this is how I explain what's going on. This is how this all happens. That's what I like about sci-fi.
What is it about sci-fi in particular that draws your attention versus, say, like fantasy or gothic horror or something like that?
Sci-fi hypothesizes that everything can be explained if you know enough. And the internet is a really good example of something that is modern magic, right? The vast majority of people do not understand how the internet works, how network backbones work, how servers work, how all of these things that give us what we perceive as the internet.
I dare say how anything works that's technologically made.
And you know how that famous quote from Arthur C. Clarke, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. For most people, the internet is basically magic. Sci-fi really says, okay, I understand that this is some kind of process that uses technology and some kind of energy transfer that I don't understand. That's cool. Whereas if you're looking at magic, it's sort of like, well, a wizard did it. And too often people resort to that non-explanation. And I prefer, I don't know, I just guess it fundamentally slots in better to the way I view the world. This is a piece of technology that you do not understand. I don't understand how hyperspace engines could work. I'm willing to suspend my disbelief and go, right, okay, that's hyperspace engines, cool. I'm also willing to suspend my disbelief and go, a wizard made a portal and you can step through it.
Sure. Same type of magic, just different sources.
Exactly. It's just a different dressing for the same thing, really. And I gravitate towards that dressing. And that there is an explanation for it. It's not just magic. It is explainable.
Speaking of sci-fi magic, let's talk a little bit about Era Kaiju, which you've got a Kickstarter out for now. It uses the D10 rule set. Tell me a little bit more about your rule set, briefly.
Actually, I've got the Era of the Consortium rulebook here, and I'd just like to show you the character sheet for it, which is this page here. Just as a contrast to what I'm about to show you for Era Kaiju, and maybe a little closer is better. So as you can see here, there are a number of stats, and it explains quite nicely. Era Kaiju works a little differently. That is the Era Kaiju character sheet. There are only 6 stats that you can roll.
Oh, very nice.
So it's a multiple D10 dice pool system, and Era Kaiju is sort of the trial run for what I would call Era D10 Lite. Mm-hmm. It's just like a cut-down version, a simpler version.
So this is something that people could do like a one-shot or a couple shots and not have to get too involved in creating.
Fate, for example. Fate's a very simple system, fundamentally.
Sure.
But maybe some people who are maybe newer to role-playing or maybe would struggle more with lots and lots of stats to remember might find this a bit easier, even though it's slightly less representative of the world or models the universe in general slightly less well. And you have to, again, suspension of disbelief, I guess. Because there's no intelligence stat for your kaiju. Your kaiju is not intelligent. So what can your kaiju work out? Well, that's sort of up to the GM and the players to agree whether your kaiju can work this thing out. But if they start acting too intelligently, yeah, I would expect the GM to intervene and say, come on, guys. Nah, that's not cool.
Yeah, they're big and bad. They need to smash stuff, right? It's all about breaking buildings and stuff.
Exactly. And you know, they might want to not break buildings because they've learned if they break buildings, then humans come and attack them, and they don't like that. So, you know, it's sort of a dog level of intelligence, I guess, in a sense. They can be quite smart relative to completely mindless beasts. So there's no intelligence stat. There are only the 6 stats, and let's see if I can get them from memory. There's might, which is your physical strength, your physical power.
Mm-hmm.
There's reaction, which is your mental reaction time. It might also be precision and movement and so on for obvious reasons. There is your willpower. That's what stops you from giving in to your instincts and going on a rampage. There is your luck. Luck is a stat in Era D10. I actually think that's really important. Luck is a thing that exists far too often in role-playing games and is overlooked a bit too often for my taste.
I 100% agree on that.
There is your health, your ability to soak damage, your ability to keep going when you're tired, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And finally, there's your kaiju power, which you get to choose from a list of 25, 29. I wrote everything I could come up with or find on the internet for any character that I could find. So there are a huge number of choices.
What's the style like in terms of gameplay? So like, is there like a setup or is it more of
a dice pool?
Okay.
And then you combine any two of those stats. So let's say you want to lift a heavy object. It might be double might. Your kaiju power is radioactivity and you want to run towards the enemy and spew radioactivity everywhere. Perhaps it would be reaction and kaiju power. You've got the various combinations that you can have. And you just choose whichever two are most appropriate.
So it sounds very simple. It sounds very easy to learn, and it sounds like something that you can pick up probably in a few minutes and just have fun with.
Even character creation literally takes 5 to 10 minutes. If you have an idea of what kind of kaiju you want to do, you can build a character in just a few minutes.
Well, I'm sold on that. I mean, I've been in hour-long creation sessions with some games. And
I've alluded to Traveler. And I adore Traveler in its way. Character creation can be a lengthy process, especially when, like me, you push your characters far too hard in their military careers and they end up dying.
You roll on about 100 different tables just to make your actual character before you get started rolling on other tables.
Yeah. I mean, it's a game with its own level of charm, but it's definitely a specific way of playing games. And I have to admit, in Era of the Consortium, the majority of the complexity in the game lies in character creation and the choices that you can make. There's quite an extensive section, probably about 50 pages, about character creation and how you can build. And then on top of that, there's the equipment and stuff that you can have. So that there are a lot of choices in that. In Era Kaiju, there's just no need for that. You are a kaiju, you will have... You are a beta kaiju, so you're a bit smaller than your Godzillas of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the idea behind that is you want to play as a group. If you're all Godzillas, then your enemy has to be so ridiculously powerful that either your enemy isn't powerful enough and it's too easy to beat, or it's so ridiculously powerful that it's basically unbeatable. Balancing enemies at that huge power level of Godzilla times 4 is just really hard to do. So instead, one of my philosophies of game design is if you're struggling to balance it, scale back the power levels.
Yeah.
Let people get there over a period of levels, fine, but scale back the starting power levels. Make them feel smaller and less strong.
So would you say this is story-driven or tactically driven? Because I could see, honestly, both.
I don't have an answer for that question because I think it depends on the GM. I know people who run all of my games very, very story-driven or very, very tactic-driven, drawing maps, making sure everyone is exactly the distance apart. The rules support both very, very comfortably, and they fit nicely to your GMing style, whichever that might be.
But you could do either or, and I think that's a good ability to be flexible as well. Another thing I was thinking about is this would be great to combine two gaming sessions. So like if you had a group A, who is fighting the kaiju who are attacking the city, group B in your game session, who actually are the kaiju, and that would be a lot of fun to go back and forth where you have actions in one game session where you're fighting against these monsters, and then the other game is literally, you're the giant monsters, and the stuff that your characters did previously are what happens in today's game session.
I've never explored that with Era Kaiju yet, but I've done it with Era the Empowered, my superhero game. I've got running two sessions. One is in the future and one is in the past. And I'm sort of doing a Wolverine and the X-Men thing. They're trying to change the history so then the future changes, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's got better. It might have got worse. You know, they've just...
Sure.
In that session, they've just basically brought about Apocalypse, you know, the character from X-Men. They basically brought him about because of the changes they've made.
But definitely worth exploring, right? That sounds like a lot of fun to be able to do kind of like a past and future set of games.
Absolutely. And in the same way, I have done sessions where, in fact, for Era of the Consortium, there are two major factions. There's the Consortium and the Resistance. And the Consortium is very much the think of them as the Empire from Star Wars. You're not far off.
Gotcha.
And they, you know, they are very militant. They're very controlling. And then the Resistance. And I've had a multi-table where two groups were playing as the Resistance and one was playing as the Consortium. And they were affecting each other in real time to kind of like, oh, okay, well, they're doing this, so what I'm going to do is take this measure so that doesn't work. And you've got two or three groups pitting their smarts against each other. That's absolutely fascinating.
What's next for Ed Jowett?
Irukandji is doing really nicely on Kickstarter. I'm really grateful to all of the support we have. It's been actually, in terms of number of backers, one of our largest Kickstarters ever. I'm going to, you know, as you can see, I've been brandishing the book. It's more or less done.
Go out and buy it, folks. It's a good game.
Yeah, thank you. This is a proof. I've got actually come up with a couple of things from thinking about it during the Kickstarter and questions people have asked me. Inevitably, you always want to change something. Fortunately, this is a proof, so that's not going to be any kind of a problem. And I'll be able to improve it a little bit in places. And once that's done, I am working on two role-playing games right now. One of them is called Era Friction, and it's about being an 80s or 90s action hero.
Oh my God, there's so many genres for that, Ed.
You build up these things called friction points, which allow you to cause continuity errors. So it's a very, very comedic and ridiculous game. But basically, yeah, you might be sort of the Arnie character with the big gun, but you don't have a big gun, but you need a big gun. So you spend some friction points and you pull out a rocket launcher out of nowhere. Where did that come from? No one knows. It was there. Or it wasn't there a minute ago, but it is now.
Where'd this A-team van come from?
We had someone play as the Transporter, sort of the Jason Statham character.
Yeah.
And he wants the car. There was a helicopter on the top of Nakatomi Plaza. There was a helicopter, and he wants to drive a car off the roof and hit the helicopter. So he used some friction points to make the car appear. And just drove a car off the top of the skyscraper. No one knows how it got up there. No one cares. It's not the point.
That sounds amazing.
So I'm working on Era Friction. I'm also working on what I call Era Soul Mist, which is a Dark Souls-inspired game. And I've done a lot of work on what should combat look like for a Dark Souls game to work. And I'm pleased to say that when I playtested it at a recent convention, the reaction I got was, wait, is my turn already?
That's great.
Which is exactly what I wanted, basically. I wanted to speed up the combat, make it sleeker and leaner, make it something that people can learn what the bosses are doing, so if they die, they can come back with the knowledge they had. I'm looking at all of these elements in gameplay, and I think I've more or less cracked it, which I'm really, really happy about. Yeah, I'm working on the artwork for Era Soul Mist at the moment. I've got some absolutely cracking images coming in from a couple of different artists who are new to me, but, you know, very, very, very happy to be working with them. And, yeah, those are my two major role-playing game projects. On the audio side, I'm actually just about to launch a Kickstarter for an audio drama called Dark City, which is a noir audio drama based in my Era of the Chosen universe, which is the more gothic horror kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a detective who is looking for the Sherlock Holmes of that world. He's gone missing. And she is just this hard-boiled detective who wants to, you know, wants to become the new Sherlock Holmes, I guess. And it's running into all of the politics that's going on. It's revealed that the previous guy, he was lying a lot of the time. Like, he wasn't following the evidence. He was making the evidence fit a pattern he was given by one of the powerful families. Well, why is he doing that? Why is the powerful family doing that? What's going on here? And this is all about unraveling that mystery over a series of 10, roughly 25-minute episodes. I got to work with three amazing voice actors for that, so Masako X, Erin Lundquist, and Ryan Negron, they're all fantastic. So that's a big project I'm working on. And I've actually got a Kickstarter live right now, or our sister organization, SOV Comics, does, which is a survival horror comic based in my zombie apocalypse universe, Era Survival. It's a story about what it's like to live in that universe, really. It follows three people who are wandering around that place, getting involved in various things that could get them killed, and how they overcome it and how they survive.
Sounds great.
Loads of stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Ed, where can interested folks find your work?
Shadesofvengeance.com is our website. We are on Kickstarter right now, and I'm sure that you'll put a link for me in the comments.
Right here.
Awesome. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Shades of Vengeance, or one word, very similar to the website. We are on TikTok for the comics, SOV Comics. We are also on Instagram for the comics at SOV Comics, so it's sort of a thing. And we're on Twitter at Shades_of_Venge, because Twitter has a one lower character limit than those other places, and it doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, that's pretty much typical for Twitter.
But yeah, we're all those places. We also have a Discord server that's linked on our website. So hop on the website and head down to the bottom. We've got a really great Discord community. We run games there. You don't have to pay to join us if you'd like to play a game. We run all of our other games, and Kaiju will very soon be added to the roster of things that we do run.
Ed Jowett is the creator and managing director of Shades of Vengeance. Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblins Corner on all the socials. Did you enjoy this podcast? We're going to interview a whole bunch more folks. Subscribe to it on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch. And hey, if you like the show, click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, and YouTube. Hit that like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people and feed the hungry algorithm, much like my Dark Lord and Master Godzilla rising from the deep to crush his enemies. That's all the time we have for tonight. My name's Eric. We'll see you next week.
In a world where the Goblin's Corner is by Matt Staples
and Eric Holden, show song by the mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.
Coming soon.